Good morning. In the name of Jesus Christ, and on behalf of the First Congregational Church of Natick, I welcome you here this morning, all those who are watching by Natick Pegasus and online. We would love to know if you're watching online, if you were to send an email to prayers@firstchurchnatick.org or text my cell phone, which is 978-790-8250, or if you prefer, just drop a note to the church office. We will be lighting the Christ candle in just a moment to remind us of God's presence with us this morning and to invoke that presence. So those who are at home, please get a candle so that you may light it with us if you choose to do that. Prayer requests can be mailed to those same that same email address, prayers@firstchurchnatick.org. Email those in and they'll be included during our prayer time. You could write it, I'm told, there's pieces of paper in the pews. Write it on one of those and the ushers will bring it up to me. Or again, you can text it to my cell phone, 978-790-8250. We'll be having a coffee hour or post-worship fellowship after church today. You can join us in person, and we hope you will, downstairs in the vestry. Or if you're at home and would like to join us that way, you can join via Zoom. This morning, the communion offering, because it's Communion Sunday, will be received, and you can place your communion offering envelopes or cash or check. There's plates in addition to the offering plates at both doors. And the communion offering goes into the pastor's discretionary account for the pastor, which happens to be me now, to help people who have a need. We are having the Great Grill Get Together. How's that for a name? Sarah Lynn made it up. There, I said it. September 11th, Rally Day, we're going to have a cookout with burgers and dogs and Beyond Burgers or Impossible Burgers, whatever they're known as. We hope you'll all come. It's going to be an exciting day. We've invited, because it's September 11th, we've invited the first responders of Natick, and we hope many of them will come. Chris.
Hello, everybody here and everybody out there. I'm Chris Gentry, and I'd just like to take a couple of minutes to talk about Family Promise Metro West. When I first started attending this church, I noticed that other religions were often mentioned during the service in a very positive way. And in many of these services, provided validation. I was impressed how that provided validations of others' beliefs and traditions, and it inspired me to think in a more interfaith kind of way. One thing I've always felt very strongly about was that it was possible for people of diverse faiths to see past their differences and work together towards a common goal. And that is exactly what Family Promise Metro West facilitates in our community. The organization's mission is to transform the lives of families with children who are facing homelessness by mobilizing a diverse community, both interfaith congregations as well as other community members, to provide shelter, education, and comprehensive support for the families. Our congregation is one of about 50 congregations representing multiple faiths who work together to support Families Promise programs. There are four programs that provide a continuum of support for families and who are experiencing varied degrees of housing instability, and that can be ranging from shelter to actually preventing homelessness in the first place. The shelter program itself involves housing families at a building here in Natick, just over on Mulligan Street, so it's very close by. This program offers accommodations, meals, clothing, and individualized family coaching. This helps families stabilize, assess where they are, and identify resources in the community that can help them reach their goals. And we're a part of that. We support these families by cooking meals, shopping for groceries, and providing evening hospitality at the day center. Our congregation is generally assigned 3 weeks each year to take on various volunteer roles. But since the day center is located so close by, we can actually help out anytime. And so I encourage people to get involved and do that. Our next host week is actually coming up beginning August 22nd. And there are still a few volunteer slots open for that week. And if you're interested in those or other volunteer opportunities for Family Promise, just reach out to me anytime. Thanks for listening.
As we gather around this table to remember, we also remember that in the Gospel of John, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." By lighting this candle, we remember that. We remember that God is the source of all light, and we remember that we are called to bring the light into the world and be that light for others.
Good morning. Please join me in the responsive call to celebration. Children of God, welcome. Welcome to this place of love and grace. Welcome to this place of hope and perseverance. God invites all of us to be a part of the beloved community. God invites all of us to share in the good news. We are welcome just as we are. We are loved. Just as we are. In gratitude for all of this, let us worship God. Please rise in body and spirit for the hymn.
Thank you.
Please join me in the opening prayer as we say together, Gracious God, make each of us an instrument of your grace. Weave us into a community showing forth your love and tenderness. Bless us and our differences, and undergird our courage to stand together. We call on you today to gather us in your love. Lead us to better know you and glorify you on each step of the journey of our lives. Amen. When we offer God our confession, we join the beautiful work of reconciliation, which begins with our reconciling with God. Trusting in our partner in grace, let us make our confession, praying, God of tender mercies, we admit that sometimes we don't know what to do with ourselves. We anger at the slightest insult and imagine great vengeance among those who have wronged us. We laze about in the good news of our faith and do not consider the deep commitment it requires. We care for ourselves, but not for others. Forgive us, we pray. Forgive us. Help us to repent and make us whole. Amen. Friends, hear this good news. The love of God is beyond measure, and you are included in that love. Know that you are forgiven and thus freed to love and serve. Amen. Amen.
Let's take a moment to share the peace of Christ with one another. If you're at home, please share the peace of Christ with those that are with you, or if you're alone, please share the peace of Christ with somebody you encounter later today, either in person or on the phone. The peace of Christ be with you all. We remember the words of the Apostle Paul. He said, it's not that you ought to give and leave yourselves in hardship, but there should be a fair balance. Your surplus at one time may fill their deficit, and at another time, their surplus may fill your deficit. At this moment in time, we're thinking about that about money, but we know that applies to all areas of our life. So let's offer our thanks to God by receiving the morning offering. You may leave it in the plates at either door. Mail it to the church or use the button at firstchurchnatick.org. Let's pray together. As we offer our treasure and hearts to you, O God, may they be used to pass on the promise of hope, peace, life, and community to all in need of your gifts and presence in their lives. Amen. Please be seated. Our scripture lesson this morning is taken from Paul's letter to the Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 1 through 3, and 8 through 16. Now, I said Paul's letter to the Hebrews, which is what is commonly said, but scholarship has proven that it's not written by Paul, but it's attributed to him like several other letters in the Christian scriptures. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for the conviction of things not seen. It's our handle on what we can't see. The act of faith is what distinguished our ancestors, set them above the crowd. By faith, we see the world called into existence by God's word, what we see created by what we don't see. By an act of faith, Abraham said yes to God's call to travel to an unknown place that would become his home. When he left, he had no idea where he was going. By an act of faith, he lived in the country promised him, lived as a stranger camping in tents. Isaac and Jacob did the same, living under the same promise. Abraham did it by keeping his eye on an unseen city with real, eternal foundations, the city designed and built by God. By faith, barren Sarah was able to become pregnant, old woman as she was at the time, because she believed the one who made a promise would do what he said. That's how it happened. From one man's dead and shriveled loins, there are now people numbering into the millions. Each one of these people of faith died, not yet having in hand what was promised, but still believing. How did they do it? They saw it way off in the distance, waved their greeting, and accepted the fact that they were transients in this world. People who live this way make it plain that they are looking for their true home. If they were homesick for the old country, they could have gone back at any time. But they were after a far better country than that, heaven country. You can see why God is so proud of them and has a city waiting for them. Here ends the reading. My friend Rob is a scientist. I call him Mr. Wizard. But he is a scientist, but not just any kind of scientist. He's a cell biologist kind of scientist. This friendship, a pastor and a cell biologist, might seem like an odd combination, but our professional lives have some huge commonalities. Namely, our jobs both focus on things you can't see with the naked eye. Now, he's got a PhD in multi-million dollar instruments that allow him to view what is, to most of us, invisible. I have an MDiv and an ancient text that can be found for free in the top drawer of most Holiday Inns. We have similarities, but we're clearly not the same. Try as we might, there are times in both of our careers that we can't see, what we know is there. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. As I'm sure you know, faith, as the author of the letter to the Hebrews describes, that faith gets a bad rap in this postmodern era. Too often, it's associated with checking reason and common sense and intellect at the door, like the stories of those snake handler churches on YouTube, or the overly cheerful optimist who serves up shallow, bad, but easy theological platitudes like, God never gives you more than you can handle. Or, perhaps even worse, everything happens for a reason. While the world around you is falling apart, the audience for whom the letter to the Hebrews was written was undergoing some serious issues. Their public belief in Jesus had, in many cases, resulted in their possessions being confiscated. Some of those early followers were imprisoned, and they were being publicly ostracized, marginalized. Remember, Jesus was supposed to have returned by then, and those early disciples were feeling let down and possibly even betrayed. This was not going according to the plan. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. In his book, Good to Great, Jim Collins wrote about the Stockdale paradox. It was named for Admiral Jim Stockdale, who was awarded the Medal of Honor in the Vietnam War, where he was a prisoner of war for over 7 years. Collins interviewed Stockdale and asked how he was able to live through such a horrible experience while other seemingly younger and more fit wound up dying in prison. Stockdale noted that the prisoners who were either complete optimists or complete pessimists had the most trouble surviving. It was the prisoners like himself that combined realism with a long view that finally made it out. In the book, Collins explains the Stockdale paradox like this. You must retain faith that you will prevail in the end, regardless of the difficulties. And at the same time, you must confront the most brutal facts of your current reality, whatever they may be. Now, if I try to turn that into church speak, it might be something like, the difference between a Sunday school faith and a mature faith that's formed in the crucible of everyday life. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for the conviction of things not seen. As a natural part of human development, we all reveled in that blissful period known as magical thinking. A couple of examples. If I use this coffee mug, I'll have a good day. Or if I don't talk about my past, it won't impact my life. Now that magical thinking tends to subside somewhere around the age of 9 in most areas of our lives, except our faith life. There is that little room in our mind that holds on to magical thinking when it comes to our faith, just like that room in Mrs. McGillicuddy's Sunday school third grade room smelling of paste and lots of lamb, cotton ball lambs on the walls right next to white Jesus. That's a Sunday school faith. Sunday school faith, it's what we were taught, and it's age appropriate for what we teach our kids now. The problem when we get stuck in that understanding and don't bother to struggle through it and incorporate it into our very beings so it affects how we live our daily lives. Now, Sunday school faith in adults can be very dangerous. There's a whole world of scary theology out there. Have you ever turned on the TV to see a preacher say something along the lines of, "Reach out your hands to the TV so God's healing can pour forth"? That's often followed, isn't it, by, "Plant a seed of faith in my ministry for $19.99. Now, I don't even want to start on those prosperity preachers who align faith and God's favor with material goods. That's dangerous magical thinking. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Faith isn't blind optimism, believing that God, like some mighty cosmic vending machine, will spit out some blessing if we only say the right prayer the right way, with the right words, or give the right amount of money. In fact, if we tweak the Stockdale paradox just a bit, it might just be one of the best explanations of faith that I've come across. You must retain faith that God will, in the end, carry the day, regardless of the difficulties you may face. And at the same time, you must confront the most irrelevant, comfortable parts of your Sunday school faith to really believe it and experience the transformation that mature faith offers. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Let's come up with some examples of this mature faith in action. A woman is diagnosed with heart disease, and she trusts that God will carry the day, and she needs to make some hard decisions about needed, yet unimplemented hard changes that need to come in her life. Faith is the assurance. A man is exhausted and burned out by the gossip and infighting of his church, and he trusts that God will carry the day, and he accepts his responsibility to be a model of a faith-centered person who won't participate in that bad behavior. Faith is the assurance. Attendance is down at First Church, and the church is experiencing severe financial pressures. And they trust God will carry the day, so they do the hard work of reassessing what it means to be church in this new post-COVID world. Faith is the assurance. A mature faith doesn't ignore the realities of life, the messiness, the heartache, the grief, the death. It does, however, acknowledge those very realities while it trusts that God will carry the day. Faith is the assurance. There are plenty of things that we don't see, and we trust that they are there. The cells that make up our bodies, the wind that changes the weather patterns, the Holy Spirit who guides and encourages us. And we hold those invisible things together with the examples of faith in our lives. We can touch our bodies. We can watch the branches move through the trees. We can see examples of faithful people in Scripture and in our own lives. Faith is the assurance. A mature faith has the core belief that God's love will carry the day, intention with a realistic appraisal of the world in which we live. A person with a mature faith acts in ways that are in concert with God's ways, like family promise. Even when it gets really hard and others aren't seeing what you're seeing or experiencing what you're experiencing. But we act in faith anyway to change the world and move it closer to God's dream for us all. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. May it be so for us. Amen. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. We gather around this table in that conviction that Jesus Christ is our host. And we know that with Jesus Christ, there isn't one single kids' table to be found. We all sit around it together, and we are all welcome to be there. So in the name of Jesus Christ, I invite all to participate in this feast. We remember on that night of betrayal that Jesus took bread and broke it and offered it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. For you and you and you." And then after supper, he took the cup and after giving thanks, he said to his disciples, "This is the cup of the new covenant, filled with my love for you. Take and drink and remember." We are one bread, one body, one cup of blessing. Though we are many throughout the earth and this church community may be scattered, we are one in Christ. Wherever you may be, we rest our hands lightly upon these elements as we ask God's blessing upon them. Gracious God, bless this bread and cup and all of us with the outpouring of your Holy Spirit. Through this meal, make us the body of Christ, the church, your servant people, that we may be salt and light and leaven for the furtherance of your will in the world. Amen. This is the body of Christ, which is broken for you. Take and eat. And this is the cup of blessing, filled with God's and Christ's love for you. Take and drink. Lane. Let us offer our thanks to God for the meal we have just received. Lead us by the hand, gracious God, from this table where the bread, the cup, and we, Jesus' invited guests, all received your Spirit, which was poured out upon us. Since we ate the bread, may its brokenness give us strength to stand up to persecutors of the most vulnerable, to challenge those who love themselves more than the frightened and the lonely. Since we drank from the cup of blessing, fill us with the courage to fill those who thirst for grace and hope, to tenderly care for those discarded by the world. Amen.
As we enter this time of prayer,
I ask that you hold on your heart and in your prayers those listed on the prayer list. It changes every week, and there's a copy in the narthex or the lobby. People throughout the world who are suffering persecution. Rodney, the family of Rodney Frazier, who died in his sleep this week, we offer prayers of comfort. What joys, celebrations, concerns, prayers do people bring to worship this morning? Heather? A friend's father. A friend's father-in-law. A robust 100-year-old gentleman suffering from C. diff. Prayers for Connie Sullivan as she continues in rehab to regain strength.
And prayers for Mark Sullivan as he waits for resolution to health concerns. There's one more. Prayers for Rod Lemon, the 100-year-old father of a close friend of the psyches.
He's a robust 100-year-old man, 100 plus. Tell me the first gentleman's name, please.
Mark Sullivan.
Mark Sullivan, as we pray for stability for his health concerns. Robin? Next Sunday will be Jeff's birthday. Is it a birthday of note? Robin, is it a birthday of note? Let's put that on your calendar. 30 days from today, we pray for Ben's birthday in celebration. Janine?